clap our hands. Hallelujah! We're going to have bread at midnight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Keep your head on straight. That's what the kids say nowadays. Amen. You don't need to scan the TV dial to find out who the good preachers are. You got one in your pulpit. Your pastor's the best preacher there is. Let me tell you, you don't need to subscribe to all the publications to find out what everybody's saying. You've got one that tells you what the book says. Live right. Live holy. Live godly. You can make it. You've got a pastor. You've got a shepherd. Hallelujah. Glory. Say glory.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Just when I don't know what to do, the Lord just lets me know, come on, Grisham, come on back and knock a little longer. You got a hungry friend? Quit your complaining and carry some bread. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We didn't reveal the name of Jesus to ourselves. We weren't that smart. We might have went to the eighth grade, but we weren't that smart. We didn't reveal the name of Jesus to us. He revealed His name to us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. How many have the name of Jesus on you tonight in baptism? How many have been buried in that name? How many have been identified with Jesus in that name? That's the most glorious privilege in all the world. The name of Jesus in baptism is not only for the remission of sins. That deals with the past and the Adamic nature that we're born into the world with. But we are identified with Christ in baptism. It's also the fact that we are circumcised. Our heart is circumcised. We walk under the blanket of the New Testament coverage, the church of the living God, with all of its provisions. Glory! Hallelujah! Jesus, who was God in flesh, answered the demands of the law. He went to the temple. His godly parents took Him there after the flesh, and they circumcised Him, answering the requirements of that preceding time. He was baptized of John in type, answering the demands of the New Testament church that would one day be in the not-too-distant future. His little short span of ministry was the part in between two dispensations. He was phasing out the old, phasing in the new. He came to complete things, to answer the demands of the law, that no one but Him could do it, because He wrote the law. He was Jehovah. He was Jesus. Glory! Well, let's rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The name of Jesus shall not go down. The name of Jesus is going up. We are hid with Christ in God. We're baptized with Him in baptism. We've taken upon ourselves the name of Jesus Christ, the name in which every knee shall bow.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's midnight, and I've got some bread on hand. Well, I think I'll just shout. Say, Jesus. Let me tell you something tonight. The world's going to get tired of these professional Christians before long. They're going to get tired of it. They're getting sick of it. This traditional religion that's as empty and as dead as a mausoleum. And this fakey, giddy stuff, this hoo-hoo-hoo, this real silly stuff is fantastic. All of that, let me tell you, when the persecution begins to come, when the traditional things that have held things together will crumble at the will of God, everything that's not of Jesus shall go down. Hallelujah. The world's already beginning to sense there's something fishy about all. It's beginning to stink. It's just like it was in the time of Jesus and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians following Him around all the time, interrogating Him, persuading Him, questioning His every act. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about that? He perceived their hearts. But in the very day in which He lived, He could perceive their hearts because He was God. He knew all things. God was spirit before the beginning, but in the beginning there was the Word. God made His overall plan. He came and existed as an angelic form, as the angel of the Lord, but He became the begotten at the time of His birth into the world as a man. God put on flesh. He was invisible that was able to make Himself visible. He now became flesh so that we could touch Him, so we could feel Him. Hallelujah! God reconciling the world unto Himself. Not a second person in the Trinity. Oh no, but God. God was the Spirit. In the beginning was God. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word. That's what the Bible says. And the Word was with God. And the Bible says, and the Word was God. And John 1:14 said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It was Jesus. Let's clap our hands again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This fishy business that people's turning traditional religion off in wholesale form, they're going to come knocking on our doors in the not too distant future. They want the real bread. They want the real goods. They want the real Holy Ghost. They want the real salvation. They want the real baptism. They want the name applied to them. Hallelujah! Just remember that God's got you fenced in, and the world's going to come hungry, knocking, seeking, asking. Glory! You've ever hunted rabbits with a beagle? Friend, it takes all the work out of it. I'm not proposing to you that we don't need to work, because the Bible says we work while it's day, because the night's coming when no man can work. If you intend to have a fruit at the judgment seat of Christ, you better do some works now, because it's by your works that you prove your faith. But I'll tell you one thing, that when those little beagles go out through the woods and you hear them yapping, 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 you just get you a good place to sit over on a log somewhere, and one by one, boom, here come another rabbit out of the stump, boom, here come another now out of the clearing, boom. You can string them up almost like crappie on a rope, because those little beagles are trained to bring them to you. Jesus Christ has the power that if we'll lift Him up, He'll draw all men unto Him. If we'll know that it's midnight, if we'll go to Him asking, oh God, there's a hungry world. I'm asking for somebody else, Lord. I'm not asking for a new car. I'm not asking for a new dress. I'm asking for some bread for a neighbor that's starving. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't go to bed at night unless you know you got some bread in the cupboard. You never know. Somebody's going to knock on the door. Hallelujah! Come on in. We happen to have some. Oh, hallelujah. Pardon me tonight. I'm having me one more time. Hallelujah. This message has been burning my heart, and I didn't know where in the world I was going to preach it. I'm still working on the plane today, talking and thinking about bread. I called this pastor. I said, get me some bread. He said, I was only able to get 5 loaves. I said, well, that's all Jesus had when He fed the multitude. We'll get the fish out of the crowd. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Say glory! Glory. Let's clap our hands for the Lord. I'm preaching to somebody tonight that needs the bread of life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We need in this closing days of time as the apostolic church to keep walking in holiness, to keep walking circumspectly. One writer in a translation likened this circumspectly to a cat walking. You know how careful they walk anyway. Walking like on the top of a wall that's got broken glass all over it. You don't take any steps foolishly. Every step he watches, he's careful.
And the apostolic church today needs to be walking circumspectly, just as careful. We don't take any step without looking where we're going. We don't take anything for granted. We don't want to get caught up with the things that are at the right, neither to the left. Everything we do has to be with the souls in mind that are going to face God one of these days. They're going to be lost or they're going to be saved. And we who endure to the end are going to be saved. None of us are saved yet. Circumspectly. I was just about to say something, but I think I'll wait. I'm just about to take a step, but I believe I'll wait. I'm just about to say something, but I think I won't say it. I thought I'd go here, but I won't go there. I tell you what I will do. I'll just stop right here and love Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 It's almost midnight. And there's a hungry world. The Bible says that we are wrestling not against flesh and blood. This is a spiritual battle. I've never seen the battle in the spirit like I've seen in the last few years. I'm not a calamity howler. But I want to tell you today there's a battle going on in the spirit. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want you to know that the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We can't outsmart the devil. We can't outfox him. We can't outthink him. But we've got a God that was before the beginning. We've got a God that will be after the ending. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows tomorrow like He knows yesterday. He sees tomorrow as though it's already happened. His name is Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We just better get a firm grip on our God because He's using spiritual weapons to defeat the devil who's operating in the spirit world. The devil is deceptive. One passage of Scripture says that the thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, to destroy. His whole work is deceptive. But the Jesus that I'm preaching to you tonight, the ministry and the purpose of His coming was not punitive. I want you to know that everything He did was with you in mind. He came with you in mind. He gave Himself for you. He shed His blood for you. Hallelujah. But the devil today is trying to make people believe that they can get the Holy Ghost, speak with tongues and still live the way they lived before. They can still, they say, smoke and it don't bother them. I read a magazine a while back. Somebody said that, that they smoked a cigar in the morning and spoke in tongues. Somebody else said they shave and speaking in tongues. Oh, it's so sacred. I want you to know that we dare not use it improperly. We ought to hallow His presence. He's God. He's to be revered. He's to be thanked. He's to be praised. Who would have ever believed that in one of the old-line traditional denominations that they would have advertised in Playboy magazine for priests $10,000 for one ad in the garbage dump of humanity, advertising for so-called men of the cloth, and $10,000 of somebody's hard-earned money for men to look on the adjoining centerfold pages of half-nude people. Display of pornography in its rawest sense. And oh, to think that people would drag religion. That's why I tell you that religion won't save anybody. It's going to take old-fashioned Bible salvation. The one God who made of Himself no reputation but came and took upon Himself the form of a servant, who bore His cross up the hill to Calvary and died for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People in the world today would have you believe that you can freelance your way through a do-it-yourself kit religion without even a pastor to lead and guide. Don't listen to it. Don't be duped. Don't be deceived. We have got to have a preacher. Without the apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, and teacher, the saints will not be perfected. It takes the perfecting ministry that God has given to the church. God is not playing church. God gave Himself for the church. Hallelujah. Oh, the devil's Trojan horse of deception has moved its way into the church. So much of the world is in the church today that you can scarcely tell the church from the world. I want to tell you that while we may appear to be out of date to this world that does not discern the will of God, I want you to know that you should wear your holiness as a badge of honor. Stick with the doctrine. Stick with the book. Stick with the pastor. Stick with the church. It's the only thing that's destined to win. So, it's almost midnight. Hallelujah. Someone read for me Matthew, the 13th chapter and the 37th through the 43rd verse. I believe that Brother Clayton has that one. I want you to notice here, lest don't be deceived. The Bible says that we should not be deceived because God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Read, brother. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man.
The field is the world.
And the good seed
are the children of the kingdom.
But the tares
are the children
of the wicked one. Read on. Read on.
The enemy that soweth them
is the devil.
The harvest
is the end of the world.
And the reapers
are going to be the angels. Notice that. Mark that in your Bible.
All right, is that all of that?
As therefore the tares
are gathered and burned in the fire,
so shall it be
in the end of this world.
The Son of Man
shall send forth his angels,
and they shall gather
out of his kingdom
all things that offend,
and those that do iniquity,
and shall cast them
into a furnace of fire.
There shall be wailing
and gnashing of teeth.
Then shall the righteous.
Let's say that together.
Then shall the righteous.
Read the rest of it.
Shine forth
as the sun
in the kingdom
of the Father.
Oh, hallelujah!
Let's clap our hands to the Lord.
Hallelujah!
The Bible said that the good seed is the children of the kingdom.
He said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man.
That's Jesus.
The tares are the children of the wicked one.
He said, the field is the world. And the reapers are the angels.
I want you to know that the devil has sowed so many things that looks like church among the church today until we at our best, our top scholars, can't tell the difference in the good and the bad sometimes.
But I'll tell you that the perfection that we even preach and that we'd like to think we can expect, we'll never see it in this world.
We're always going to be reaching for a higher mark than we're achieving.
But one of these days when the sickle's thrust in, and the Lord of the harvest has come, and everything stands the way it is when the sickle is thrust in.
Nothing changes.
But it's so deceptive that the Bible says that the angels are going to have to be the one that comes and divides.
And it's going to be surprising to some because the Bible says there'll even be some in that day that'll say, Lord, didn't you know me? I cast out devils in your name.
But he said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't know you.
So it's going to be a work that only the angels sent from God can divide the good from the bad.
And then the Bible says, then the righteous shall shine.
Oh, hallelujah.
We'll know who the real Christians are in that day.
Then shall the righteous shine.
But as the old song says, until then, my heart will go on singing.
Until then, I'll just carry on.
Until the day, my heart will just keep singing.
Occupy till he comes, the Bible says.
Keep preaching holiness when everybody says it's not necessary.
Keep believing the book when everybody says it's a fable.
Keep standing for the right thing if you have to stand alone.
Paul said this is such a spiritual battle that you better put on your spiritual weapons and your warfare equipment.
He said, put you on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Ephesians, about the 6th chapter, the 10th, 11th, and the 12th verses, I believe it is.
Bible says also in Paul's writings, we are not ignorant of his devices, speaking of Satan's trickery. So today you can't put your trust in personalities. You can't put your trust in anything except Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual battle. And if you don't have the Word of God down deep in your heart, you're apt to be deceived. You need to hear it. You need to read it. You need to study it. You need to memorize it. You need to meditate on it. Get a firm grip on this right here. That's the only thing that's going to carry you through. Paul prophesied of a time that those who would fall into Satan's trap would be those who did not receive a love for the truth. I hear people today say, I don't believe in any doctrine. I want to tell you that it's doctrine from Genesis 1 to the last verse in Revelation. All Scripture is given for doctrine, the Bible says. Inspiration of God, edification, correction, reproof. Anything that needs to be done, you'll find it here. This will tell you how to get along with your mother-in-law. This will tell you how to get along with your husband and wife. This will tell you how to rear your children properly. This will tell you how to live a godly life above the world. Hallelujah. Receive the love for the truth so that you won't be tricked. Because the Bible says that there'd be those who would believe a lie and be damned. We've read of that in our newspapers the last week or two. Well-meaning people perhaps started out well, but what happened? Paul told, I believe it was the Galatians one time, he said, you did run well. But what hindered you? What hindered you? Who hindered you? Who's caused you to err? Who's caused you to be bewitched? Who's caused you to err? The Scripture says that the blind will lead the blind and they'll all fall in the ditch. The Bible says that these who do not receive a love for the truth, that God Himself will send them strong delusion. Oh, that's a bitter thing for us to swallow. The world would have us to believe that God is so merciful. Oh, the love of God is presented in such beautiful ways, and we're made to feel as though we're something less than what we should be if we preach there's a hell. But I'm telling you, there's only two places to go. There's no purgatory. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. It's the way you fall is the way that you're going to be in eternity. One passage of Scripture says, let he that's righteous be righteous still. Hell will be filled with religious people. People that were well-meaning. People that were tricked and duped and led there by those who themselves were in error. But oh, I'm telling you tonight that my Bible says that he would not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the church tonight need not be dismayed. This is a great day for the church. It's a great day for the church. We need to quit fretting over numbers. Let the will of God be done. Push for everybody you can, but don't feel like you're something less than the best if you don't have as many as somebody else. Push for Jesus. Lift up the Lord. Keep knocking. Keep asking. You'll receive. Hallelujah. God wants to use you. How many want to be used of the Lord? I want to tell you tonight that God does not have any museum pieces. He don't win somebody and put them on display in the church lobby. He don't put a young man there and his hair cut real good, a quarter of an inch over his ears, have his face clean shaven and everything. And in the lobby, when people walk in, they say, here is the example of a Christian. He will be here 8 hours tomorrow. And he'll be here tomorrow all day long. You may take a gander at him between 8 and 5 tomorrow. He's here. Look at the clear-cut haircut. Look at the beautiful, shining sidewalls over his ears. He's a Christian. And look at our little example of a Christian lady here. Take a look. She has her dress 2 inches below her knees. She has sleeves in her dress, and her hair is long. Take a gander. Look her over. This is Miss Christian. Oh, no. God does not win us and take us from a world to make showpieces out of us. He does not mummify us. He puts us into the field. He puts us out there on display. He puts us in the times of testing so that people, when they're going through trials, will know that God will be faithful to them likewise. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. John, the 6th chapter, the 48th through the 66th verse. You want to say, well, God is wanting to use me. I want to know how He wants to use me. I'm going to tell you, fasten your seatbelts. We're going to go on a trip right now. When Jesus preached this message, He lost some of His closest followers. John the 6th chapter, the 48th through the 66th verses. Read loud.
I am that bread of life.
I am that bread of life.
Your fathers did eat manna.
Your fathers did eat manna. Let me tell you, back in that day, the manna was delivered from the Lord every day. The bread man came every day. They had to eat it that day. All right, read on.
In the wilderness and are dead.
In the wilderness, and they're already passed on.
This is the bread which cometh down from heaven.
But this is the bread. He's talking about himself. But this is the bread that what?
That a man may eat.
That a man may eat. And what?
And not die.
And not die. Read on.
I am the living bread.
I am the living bread.
Come down from heaven.
Which come down from heaven. Let me stop there. The Word incarnate, Jesus Christ. The Word made flesh. Read on.
If any man eat of this bread.
He shall live forever.
And the bread,
that I will give unto you, what?
My flesh. I will give for the life.
I will give for the life of what?
Of the world.
Read on.
The Jews therefore strove among themselves.
Hey, what in the world is this fella saying here? I know we got him now. Listen to this fellow. He's bound to be completely off his rocker. Read on. How can this man give us his flesh? Take a bite, please. Go on.
Then Jesus said unto them,
Verily, verily, I say unto you,
except you eat,
the flesh of the Son of Man,
and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh,
and drinketh my blood,
hath eternal life, and I will raise him up,
at the last day. All right, read on.
For my flesh.
Is meat indeed.
And my blood is drink indeed.
He that eateth my flesh
and drinketh my blood
dwelleth in me
and I in him. As the Father liveth
hath sent me
and I live by the Father. So that he that eateth me Even him shall live. By me. This is that bread.
Which came down from heaven.
Not as your fathers did. And are dead.
He that eateth this bread.
Shall live forever. These things saith he. Unto the synagogue.
As he talked. Go ahead.
Many therefore
of his disciples. Now this wasn't just the crowd that was, listening. The Bible says many of his disciples. That's the ones that had already come this far with him. They didn't even understand what he's talking about. Many of his disciples did what? Read on.
When they heard this. Said this. This is a hard saying.
This is a hard saying.
Who can hear it?
Who can understand this? Who understands what he's saying? This is hard to understand. Uh-huh. Read on.
When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples were murmuring back there,
saying, "What's he mean?" Read on.
He said unto them,
Does this offend you?
What if you see the Son?
Of man ascend up.
He has where he was before.
All right.
Is this the spirit that quickens the flesh?
Read that again there.
It is the spirit.
It is the spirit that quickens the flesh.
The flesh profit nothing.
All right. The words that I speak unto you
They are spirit,
and they are life.
But there are some of you.
But there's some of you, he says,
that believe not.
That don't believe.
For Jesus knew from the beginning.
For Jesus knew from the beginning
who they were.
Who they were.
That believe not.
That believe not.
And who should betray him?
And who should betray him?
And he said.
And he said.
Therefore I say unto you.
Therefore I say unto you.
That no man can come unto
me. That no man can come unto me.
Except it were given unto
him. Except it were given unto him.
Of my Father.
Of my Father.
Wherefore, from that time.
Wherefore, from that time.
Many of his disciples.
Many of his disciples.
Went back and walked no more.
Went back and they walked no more.
With him.
With him. All right. I want to tell you tonight that this gospel is not for weaklings. If we haven't decided that we're going to go all the way with the Lord, you mark it down, we're not going to make it to the end. There's so many people today that only want to go with God in the good times. But I want to tell you that he said, unless you eat of this bread, that you're not going to make it. And even his own disciples couldn't understand it. We must eat this bread. We must eat of his flesh, the Bible says. We must drink of his blood until we become one with him. Now, Paul got the revelation. Here's what Paul said. Paul said that we ought to discern his body, that we ought to eat of his flesh, we ought to drink of his blood until we become one with him. He said, therefore, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And he looked at his audience in the 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 17th verse, and he said, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We hear a lot of things said about being one today. But in the particular point that Paul was making here, he didn't say it to the point of it being unity of the church. We are members in particular. We don't all have the same function, but we all eat of that one bread. You might shout different than me. You might not even have any legs to run on. You may not have any hands, but you've got to partake of the good Lord's body. You've got to eat of his bread until you become one of him, one with him. Hallelujah. He didn't say to the point of unity of the church. Hallelujah. God's been digging this thing right down in my soul lately. One something. One what? One bread. One bread. One body. We're partakers of one bread. Some of you just had a nibble. Some of you, all you've had is just a few croutons. All you had is somebody's testimony. They got shot off a ship in 1942. But oh, what the world's needing is not to hear what God did in 1942. What they need to hear, what they got to see, what they got to feel. I just came from the heavens. I just came from the prayer room. I just partook of his body. I just ate some bread. I ate so much bread, I am bread. I ate so much bread, I'm bread. Glory! Let's clap our hands. Just keep eating bread. Eat bread till you become bread. Everyone here ought to become a big fat loaf of bread. Well, let's just stand up and praise the Lord and sit back down. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God! You can be seated. I'm going to wind it up here in just a few minutes. How many love the Word of God? Now, hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The Bible says that bread is the staff of life. In other words, you can't live without it. How many of you here tonight don't like milk? Anybody here don't like milk? Here's one that don't like milk. Anybody else don't like milk? Anybody here that don't like pizza? Hold up your hand. All of you like pizza? How many of you here like watermelon? Anybody here don't like watermelon? Does everybody here like bread? Anybody here that don't like bread in some form? Why, no. Every culture in the whole world, in some form, bread is adaptable and acceptable and usable in their diet.
I want you to know that there's something about a good old loaf of bread. You don't need to put candles in it. You don't need to put any frosting on it. You don't need to decorate it up. Hallelujah. You just get a hold of that and you just tear into it. It's good. It's bread on the outside. It's bread on the inside. It's bread in the middle. It's bread all the way through. Hallelujah. And that's what God wants the church to be. Bread on the outside, bread on the inside, bread in the middle. No things hidden, no pockets, no air holes, no frosting. Nothing needs to decorate it up. It's Jesus. Don't change it. Bread. Eat bread until you become bread. Hallelujah. Doctrine. Give me another bite of that. Quit talking about your neighbor. Eat some bread. Quit criticizing. Spend that time eating bread. Get up in the morning, eat bread. Get your Bible down, eat bread. Go to the prayer room, eat some bread. Eat bread, eat bread, eat bread. Everywhere you go, the world sees you, you look like bread. You smell like bread. You feel like bread. You are bread. And when the world comes knocking on your door, you can say, come in. Got some bread. In fact, that's all we do have, bread. Bread. Bread, 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 bread. Worship the Lord. Well, let's rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Don't change it. It's bread. Everybody likes bread. From China to Manhattan, they all like bread. One of the fondest memories of my boyhood, the bakery downtown, Rainbow. Go by there. Whew. Let's go in and see if we can get them to give us one of those loaves right out of the oven. Boy, they said, well, I don't think, you know, they'll care if we just, you know, just a few loaves. Man, take them home hot, just tear into them, swab it out real good with butter, get some milk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, everybody in town knew there's a bakery there. Everybody in town knew there's a bakery there. Everybody in town knows the church is here. The man come knocking on the door won't know what's going on in the middle of the night. I'll tell you what we're doing. We're eating bread. If you smell something, it's bread. What's your breath smell like? Bread. What do you feel like? Bread. What's on your mind? Bread. What you plan to be doing? Eating bread. How long are you going to eat bread? Until it becomes bread. Dietitian said you become what you eat. If you'll eat bread. If you'll eat bread. If you'll eat bread. If you'll partake of bread. If you'll eat Jesus. If you'll talk about Jesus. If you'll live for Jesus. If you'll praise Jesus. You're going to become like Jesus. You become bread. What do you got to offer? Bread? Where are you going? Going to go deliver some bread. Somebody said this, the hungry family over here somewhere. About to break up. What you going to take them? Oh, not any books on sociology. Just going to go over and take them some bread. I'm going to go over there. We'll feed them bread. We'll eat bread until we become bread. Bread is made to eat. And bread is a consumable commodity. And Jesus came into the world not to do anything but just become consumable. He came to be spent. He came to be consumed. He gave His all. He died. He was spent. He was used. He said, it's finished. In other words, He said, that's all she wrote. Just go. Bread. Why, when the world sees one of us walking down the street, they ought to be looking for a stick of butter to swab us down. They ought to say, man, there's something about the church is so good. Man, everywhere they go, talking about Jesus. Go to church, they talk about Jesus. At the lunch hour, when they open their dinner bucket, talk about Jesus. Go to their house, what are they doing? Watching Gunsmoke? No, they're just talking about Jesus and watching Him work in their lives. What they got on their mind? I don't just talk about Jesus all the time. They just love Jesus. In fact, see me like they're just about become Jesus. We ought to eat Jesus until we become just exactly what He is. Through and through. You don't need to decorate the church up like a wedding cake. We got our wedding later. All we need is just a good old plain gospel. It don't need to be adorned with anything. Bread don't need any decorating up. But when they put that on the table and they set the butter there and hand you a knife, you know something about what to do with it. You sink your teeth in it. Glory! It's midnight and we've got bread for a starving world. Well, let's slap our hands again. I got to stop. I tell you, I'm feeling so good right now, though. Now, you didn't let me get started very early, so you forgive me tonight. I'll tell you what. As our organist comes back tonight, and we sing that song, Jesus, Use Me. Hallelujah. What's it take to make bread? I've watched my wife make bread. They put those old loaves out there, you know, and they get them all put into shape, you know. Lay them out there. If you don't put them in the right shape pan, it looks something ferocious. It rises on one side and pooches out on another. Some people, if you don't get them in the Word right quick, they get so out of shape that you can't even cut them with a knife hardly. But if you'll eat Jesus. Bread. Boy, it's good, Lord. I'm understanding more about You, Lord. I'm beginning to discern Your body. You're so sweet. I don't have time to criticize nobody. I'm just going to eat bread. Just become bread. He wants us to become a consumable commodity. One old couple down in Louisiana getting near the end of their life, they begin to divest themselves of all of their holdings in life because they didn't want to have anything left over when they died. They were afraid they'd have something left over. They wanted to give it all away before they passed from the scene of life. Every day, my son asked me not long ago as we were driving along in the car to a meeting somewhere. He said, Dad, he said, me and Joe were talking not long ago. He said, we were wondering, what is it about my dad and his dad, you and Brother Wallace? He said, there's something about you guys that you just push all the time. Energy. Push. Drive. Promote. Do things. Planning, scheming. Said, don't you ever get tired? Don't you ever give up? Said, we begin to wonder, after you guys are gone, will there be any of that in us that we'll just keep on as young people? Pushing? Preaching? Going places? Planning, scheming things? I hope there's some of that in us, Dad. Because he says, I wonder if we young people really know what it's all about. I'll tell you how to find out. I got a vivid picture of an old pastor with his nose eaten off with a cancer. Still alive. He made the work of God look so attractive, I'd almost feel like a piker if I didn't go and try my hand at it. He made us love Jesus so much. I've been eating bread since I was about 9 years of age. I ate some before that. But I was baptized in Jesus' name. I'm going to keep eating bread till I become bread. I'm going to keep on preaching, keep on praying, keep on fasting, keep on believing holiness. I don't care what God does. That's His business. I'm not going to find fault.
Hallelujah.
He wants to fill a Catholic priest in this town. I won't fall out with him over. I'm just going to keep preaching what I know is in the book. Keep eating bread. Keep baptizing in Jesus' name. Keep trying to be thankful for what Wonder Woman's doing. I don't know. I don't understand. Keep Pat Boone's shoes white, Lord, some way. I don't understand how his shoes stay white all the time. And I'm going to keep eating bread. Sometimes I don't eat enough of it. But I kind of got the feeling that somewhere right around the corner that there's a starving, hungry world. It's going to start. Is this the Holy Roller Church? Yep. Come in. I know what you're looking for. Lord told me you're going to be here. This is it. Bread. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. Yep. No other way. Got to receive the Holy Ghost. Want another bite? Got to live holy. Got to keep separate from the world. How long you been eating bread? Long time. How long you intend to eat bread? Hallelujah.